Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to pray your presence among us. Father, we want to open ourselves up to, Lord, hearing from you, responding to you, and becoming more in line with your word. So, Father, I pray that your Spirit would fall on us now in a really beautiful, maybe a fresh way. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, folks, for anybody who's new here or whatever, or hasn't been here in a while, we've been going through a series, A Jesus-Looking Church. And the theory has been that, you know, we want to look more like Jesus. We don't want to follow in the identity of the way we've been for decades. We don't want to keep doing what we're doing or whatever. We want to think about who Jesus is. And we want to follow in his footsteps. And we've been doing that in this way. If we want to move to the next slide, in this famous Angry Birds Church in Tampa Bay. We are thinking, and a Jesus-looking church is a school. So we thought about a place where we learn. A hospital, a place where we're healed and we offer healing. And today we're going to think about the church as a barracks. And in fact, we're going to spend a couple of weeks on it. I preached to myself for 2 hours and 10 minutes, and I thought that's too long for a Sunday morning. So I've divided it in two over 2 weeks and cut it down a hint as well. So you'll be all right. But we're going to think about the church as a barracks, a place where we learn how to fight in the right way. And we're going to discover that today and next week, hopefully. So if we just move on to the next slide. We've been talking about the fact that we don't have any, unless somebody new has joined the church in the last few weeks, we don't have anybody with a PhD in Dollingstown. But actually there's the possibility, when we follow after the things of Jesus, that we can be PhD students, we can be preachers. And as folks that have been here for a while will know, we looked at what is the gospel. And the gospel, it's a simple story of Jesus' life, his death and his resurrection and his appearance to us. So we all know the gospel. We can carry that message as preachers. Healing is the next. So PH, healing. And, you know, we're going to learn more on that weekend when the 100 or 200 of you, whatever, sign up this morning for that day with Jeannie Morgan. We're going to be discovering a little bit about healing and prayer and all that sort of stuff. So we thought about the church as a hospital. And today is a big one. Because we're going to think about the D, so we can be PhD students. Deliverance. We're going to think about deliverance. And I love this wee statement on the next slide by a guy called Soren Kierkegaard, who's a 19th century Danish philosopher. And he says this, he says, "Now with God's help, I shall become myself. Now with God's help, I shall become myself." And the reason why I flagged that wee statement up there, folks, is that this isn't something that, you know, a new rector's come along with some great new idea about how we should live out the Christian life. This is just basic biblical truth, isn't it? If we're going to be like Jesus, if we move on to the next slide, if we're going to be Christians and we're going to be like Jesus, we need to follow after doing the things that Jesus did. We need to follow after the things that Jesus did. So, you know, I've already said, you know, if you've got a Christian, if you take out Christ, you're just Ian. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Nobody wants to be... I'm joking. Of course we do. But you know what I mean? This now with God's help, we shall become ourselves. This is who we're born to be. We're born again to be preachers, healers, and deliverers. That is who we're born to be. And now with God's help, we shall become ourselves. That's what we'll do. That's what we need to be. That's what we need to do. But here's the question. Is Jesus really interested? We know he's interested in us carrying this message, being preachers. We know he's interested in us laying hands on people and praying for their healing. We know he's interested in that. But are we really following after the things of God when we seek to be deliverers? Well, let's move on and let's look at a few little passages. 1 John 3, verse 8. Why did Jesus come? We would have loads of answers for that, wouldn't we? He came to seek and save what was lost. You know, all of those sorts of things. But 1 John 3, verse 8, the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. That's why he came. Hebrews, for only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had or held the power of death. So Jesus came to wrestle away the power of death from the devil. Jesus went around, in Acts 10, Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with Jesus. And one of my favorite verses from the whole Bible, Colossians 2:15, it talks about what Jesus achieved on the cross. He nailed our transgressions to the cross, but also he disarmed the powers and authorities of the evil realm, the dark realm, and he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. You see, what Jesus came to do was to actually defeat the devil. That's what he came to do. And even in seeking and saving what was lost, he was wrestling us back from the devil. And the word that's used in a whole lot of these passages in the Greek, especially that first one, is a word called archon. Archon. And archon means the CEO. Okay? So we had a few, don't tell her I compared her to the devil, but we had Jude Cairns here, who is CEO of Love for Life, a few weeks ago, okay? And Jude is in charge of Love for Life. She's in charge of the leadership and all of that of Love for Life. But the devil is called the archon of this world. He's called the god of this world. He's called the CEO of this world. And what Jesus came to do was a military advance on someone that held power on his world. And he took it off him. He disarmed the powers and authorities and made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. But I think this is an incredible passage we're about to look at. If we move on to the next slide, also my favorite picture of the week. Look at that. Isn't that lovely? I think this is just such a fascinating passage that we're about to look at from Matthew 12. It's also in the book of Mark as well, this wee exchange. And what happens in this exchange is that Jesus is ministering, and they bring him a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute. And Jesus heals him. Incredible, he delivers this man from this demon possession. Unbelievable. But then, as usual, the Pharisees put like a little twist on this. And they say, well, the only reason why Jesus can cast out demons is because he himself is powered by the devil, or Beelzebul, as he's called in this wee passage. And Jesus says, listen, even on a logical level, that makes no sense. Like, why would the devil power me to cast out devils? He says, a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. That is ridiculous. Why would the devil power me to cast out devils? But he says, no, he says this. He says, where is it? Oh, yeah. So he says, how can, verse 29, how can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man? Then he can plunder his house. How can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man? Then he can plunder his house. Let's think about this for a wee second. We've already learned that the devil, this figure, this individual that roams the earth like a lion, is considered the archon, the CEO of this world. Okay? Now, we see evidence of that, don't we, in our world, that he is present. I heard I read a little story this week from a police commissioner. The police commissioner wasn't a Christian. But he said this. He said, when I investigate a case, and when I see two criminals involved, and I know that there's no way these two criminals could have had the capacity or the intelligence to organize this crime, I instantly assume there must be a Mr. X. There must be somebody else involved who's the mastermind behind this plot. And he said, do I believe in the devil? He said, well, when I look at the world, and when I look at my city, and the evil that occurs in my city, there is some greater intelligence behind all of this evil than the people involved.
Now,
Jesus says, I'm not powered by the devil. He said, because why am I casting out demons if I'm powered by the devil? He says, no, here's why I'm here. I'm here to tie up the strong man. I'm here to wrestle control away from the Archon, wrestle control away from the devil, so that we can then ransack his house. So we had Jude Kearns talking to us about the incredible darkness of the internet a few weeks ago, about how the devil is having his way on the internet. But here's what we need to remember. We need to remember that in the act of coming to die on the cross, Jesus has wrestled authority away from the devil. And we as the church are meant to be an army who rush in and take back what is God's from him. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is what we're meant to do. The strong man has been tied up. The devil has been bound. And our job now is to go and wrestle what he's taken. And you know, that's Ian's role. As he goes out and he meets young people that are under the control of all sorts of addictions and worldviews and lots and lots and lots of things, he has been given authority by what Jesus did on the cross to run in and take back young people for the Lord Jesus. Do you see what I'm saying? That's what his role is. That's the beauty and the majesty of the cross. Let's move on to the next slide. This is our role as the army. The first one is that we are to obey the commander. So it says in 2 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4, it says this, "Join me in suffering like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer." See, that passage is saying, if you're part of the army, don't get involved in civilian affairs. Has the church got involved in civilian affairs? I think they have. I think we have. I think we've got involved in civilian affairs and forgotten that first and foremost, we are soldiers in a war, called by our commander to rush in and plunder the strong man's house. We've got involved in civilian affairs. If we're obeying the commander, then by God's help, we will become who we are. We'll become who we are. We'll become wrestlers back of the things of God from the kingdom of darkness. Here's the second thing. We need to identify the enemy. You see, here's what I think happens when the church forgets that it shouldn't be involved in civilian affairs. It's what happens in peacetime. What happens in peacetime is people fight one another instead of fighting an enemy. The church is constantly breaking up, isn't it? Constantly falling apart. And I think the reason is when we forget that we're fighting an enemy, when we forget that we're an army against Beelzebul, against the world, the flesh, and the devil, I think when we forget that, we start to fight people and each other. But we're not to do that. I've said that the word Archon means the CEO, but Beelzebul is a really, really, really interesting word for the devil. Because what it speaks of is, do you remember that book, The Lord of the Flies? That's Beelzebul. He's the Lord of the Flies. So imagine in your garage, you know, you got a turkey for Christmas, but you never used it, and you forgot all about it, and it's in a freezer in your garage, and somebody plugs the freezer out at some stage, and one day you go into your garage, and that turkey in the freezer has been there for, let's say, a year. Okay? Now, what's going to happen? There's going to be fly central in your garage, isn't there? Because flies are attracted to decay. Okay? Flies are attracted to decay. The devil is called Beelzebul, the Lord of the Flies, because he thrives in decay. He thrives in decay. And when we forget our role, when we forget our calling, when we forget this act of seeking his holiness every single day and waging war against sinful desires and seeing wherever there is decay, well, the devil has his way in that situation. As a church, how good are we at spotting decay and moving into it to bring about the good things of God before the devil would have his way. How good are we at that? How good are we at identifying the enemy in terms of what he's trying to do? How good are we at that? When we don't read our Bibles for 2 weeks, I think what we're doing is we're forgetting to put our armor on for 2 weeks. We're forgetting that there's an enemy for 2 weeks. We're forgetting that he loves to get into the decaying relationship of our devotional life and screw it up irreparably. Do we have a clear view of the enemy? And here's a lovely one. Prep yourself and each other. See, we gather here on a Sunday morning, and I want our gathering on a Sunday morning to be something that prepares us for the fight. I want our gathering on a Sunday morning to be something where we become strong and prepared. We put our armor on and we get ready to go and fight against all that is evil. We go and we take back things that have been stolen by the devil, the archon, but God wants us to steal back. And here's a lovely passage. I just think this is great. It's written to Timothy, and it says this: Timothy, my son, I am giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies that were made over you. It means, he's saying, I'm giving you this command remembering. Do you remember you were prayed over? And God spoke those things into your life. He says this: Timothy, my son, I'm giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made over you, so that by recalling them, you might war a good warfare. You might fight the battle well, holding on to faith and a good conscience, instead of being shipwrecked with regard to the faith. So what Paul is saying to Timothy is he's saying, you need to be remembering what was prayed over you when you receive prayer ministry, because as you recall those things that God has spoken over you, it's going to prepare you for the fight. It's going to help you to war a good warfare, fight a good fight. Folks, this idea of coming forward and receiving prayer, it's not because I think it's a good idea or because I've seen it somewhere else or because we've been doing it in previous times. It's because we need the continuing word of God spoken over our lives so that we can step out of here as an army against the archon. That is exactly what we're called to be. Folks, here's the final idea I want to leave you with just as I take us a wee bit further. Don't be in denial regarding the war. Don't be in denial regarding the war. You know, folks, the devil, the world, the flesh and the devil would absolutely love us to forget our calling and what we're called to walk in and what Jesus has called us to do, to be PhDs, to be preachers, healers and deliverers. They're our weapons, preaching, healing and deliverance. And he would love us to think we just continue on the way we've been going for decades. Thank you very much. But no, he doesn't want us to. God does not want us to be in denial regarding the war. I loved it. Put up your hand if you've heard of a preacher called John Piper. Okay, a whole bunch of us. John Piper is an amazing preacher, American preacher. And a few years ago, I think it was maybe in about 2006 possibly, he got prostate cancer. And I love what he said. He says this. He says, until you know that life's a war, you do not know what prayer is for. Until you know that life's a war, you do not know what prayer is for. Folks, I would love to invite you now to stand. And let's just tune in to the commander a second. Let's tune in to the one who has come to this earth, the one that has went to the cross. He's taken all our sins and transgressions. And that's lovely. That just involves our little lives. He's taken away our guilt, which is great. But let's also remember that he called us into an army. He triumphed over powers and authorities by the cross, but rather than just vanquishing them, he's invited us to be the children that run in and plunder the enemy's house. let's just ask ourselves, are we wanting to be part of that? Are we wanting to be part of that? And folks, just as maybe we let's keep our eyes closed, but just as we keep our eyes closed, let's just acknowledge before God that even though the devil is called a strong man, that if Jesus is able to tie him up, Jesus must be a stronger man. So God is incredibly, immeasurably stronger than the Archon, immeasurably stronger than the devil, immeasurably stronger than him. So when God speaks, it silences the devil. When we worship God, it silences the avenger and the foe. That's what the Bible says. So God is incredibly, incredibly stronger than him. But unfortunately, it's so easy in the local church for the devil to take our minds off the war. So folks, here's the thing I want you to think about right now. I want you to think about, where can you see in your life that you're in a war? A war with the world, the flesh, or the devil? John Piper was saying there that in his prostate cancer, he knew that he was realizing that life was a war, and he was realizing that he needed prayer. He knew what prayer was for. So let's locate where our war is, where our battlefield is. And let's do as Paul encouraged Timothy to do. Let's remember and recall those things that were spoken over us by other believers, by God through his word. Let's recall those things. And let's fight the good fight. Let's wage the good warfare. And let's offer ourselves as soldiers in the battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil. Heavenly Father, I just want to invite you by your Holy Spirit to clothe each and every one of us with the armor. Father, clothe each and every one of us with the armor. And Father, I just want to pray especially over anyone here that hasn't made Jesus their commander yet. And I pray, Lord, that you would do what you have promised to do in the Word, that you would remove that veil that blinds them from their eyes. And you would show them exactly what the devil's schemes are and exactly who the beautiful Jesus Christ over their life is. Father, reveal yourself now, we pray. And Father, I pray that this church would arise and that it would put its armor on and it would face down all the decay that we see around us, and that we would pray and worship and speak the name of Jesus, our commander, into every single one of those situations. Father, I pray that we wouldn't be a church that turns on itself, for our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers. So, Father, we want to be so focused on the things of Jesus that we don't fight each other and we fight him who should be fought. So, Father, by your Spirit, come down on our church. Equip us for the battle, we pray. In Jesus' precious name. The church said, amen, amen. Folks, here's what I want us to do now. I'm going to invite the worship guys forward. This is going to be very, 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 very simple. Loads of time. Very simple. What I want to do is just want to invite you just very simply to come to the front here. And as you come to the front, there's going to be a couple of different wee layers to this, okay? You might be coming to the front because there's a particular area where you're at war in your own life, okay? And you want to just to say to God, I need your presence. I need your power to overcome, okay? Just like John Piper would say, you don't know what prayer's for until you know that life's a war. So if that's you. But also, I want to invite people forward to receive prayer that just are saying, I'm actually tired of just kind of doing the church thing. And I really want to start and make a... Sorry, mate. You need cords, do you? I really want to make a difference for the kingdom. So if that's you, I just want to invite you forward. So come on forward now. That'd be great. Come on forward now. Any of those things. Okay. Don't be shy, balcony. Don't jump, though. okay. He will command his angels not to let your foot, all that stuff. Do come forward and don't worry about who else is coming forward. This is just about you. Heavenly Father, Lord, with your help, we will become ourselves. Father, I want to just pray over these guys especially, but over our whole church, Father. But I really want to pray that, Lord, you would just clothe us in your armor. Father, would you, by your Holy Spirit, empower some of these guys, Lord, who are really seeking to overcome addictions, maybe, that are waging war against their soul. I want to pray for those of us that are really struggling with a relationship that's causing us huge amounts of problems. Father, a voice that's just really, really bringing condemnation. And Father, I want to pray for the power of God to overcome. And Father, I pray that every single person in our church, but I pray a special love and anointing over these very brave people that have come forward. Father, I pray that every single one of us would realize that our calling is of a preaching, healing, delivering nature. And Lord, I pray that to these folks that you would just speak over, as you spoke over the disciples, that I have been given authority. And now I give it to you to go and take back that which has been stolen from God. Father, I pray that these guys would go into workplaces. I pray that they'd go into relationships. I pray that they'd go into even shops as they do their shopping. I pray that they'd go online. I pray that they'd go wherever they go, they would take the authority to drive out him who has no authority, him that knows his time is short, him that has been tied up by the cross and the victory of Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, this church is an army. O church, arise. Put your armor on.